Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Metal Freedom. I am your host, Jay Hill, or as my friends in the metal community like to call me, Jammin' Jay. So, it's Friday. Everybody is hyped that it's Friday. Unfortunately, I have to work in the morning tomorrow, but only for a couple hours, so it's all right. It's not a big deal. I have a fantastic guest. I'm excited about this. I think that once you start to listen to this or watch this, you'll be excited too. It's one of those things where I kind of grew up listening to these guys when I was in high school. And I remember the one song that was, you know, always played and whatnot. And it was just, anybody that knows Three Little Pigs knows this song. Okay. So, I actually have Clay Schneider. Oh my gosh, I butchered that, didn't I? Clay Schneider. Shiner. Why can't I say that? Huh. Okay. Well, I'm sorry, Clay. I butchered your last name, but that's okay. We do strange stuff like this on different of my shows, all different shows I have all the time. Anyways. So, like I said, growing up listening to different songs from this band, anybody that knows who Green Jello is, yeah, you're in good company. The guitar player for this non-touring band he's part of. Let's just get him on and get going.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
What's up, Clay? I'm all right. Sorry about your last name. For some reason, I could not get your last name out. I don't know what it was, but it was just, yeah.
Oh, it is all good. It happens. I'm terrible with names.
Yeah, that's all right. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
This is Metal Freedom. This is my second episode, and I am so psyched that you are on it.
I'm honored to be here.
And just to give everybody a little bit of a background too, I do other podcast shows that consist of paranormal.
That's cool.
And I am part of the K2 Paranormal Research, which happenstance, so is Clay. And so he's good friends with my cousin and my good friend and family member, Kelly Schaefer.
Miss Kelly, she's awesome.
We used to do the Cemetery Files. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's fantastic. So we have some commonality together. But when it comes to music, man, I grew up listening to Three Little Pigs. You know, that song was just kind of just one of those.
It's an earwig.
Staples. It is, you know?
It really is.
And I just...
The first time I heard that song, I was a kid. And my dad actually turned me on to the song. And the very first time I heard it, it got stuck in my head. And I literally wore it out for everybody all week and drove all my friends and family crazy with it, except my dad. He was a metalhead, so... But my whole life, I have heard that riff. And when I finally got to play it with the band years ago, it was a surreal moment. It was pretty cool.
Right. And I just, you know, and they did have an issue with their name back in the day where they had to change it to Green Jelly because of the, who was it?
I think it was Kraft, like, I think. I'm not sure yeah, the whole story.
Yeah, something like that, where they were going to sue him because they were using the Green Jello and the whole dash and all that. Yeah, it was like.
But I'll tell you.
But still, that's how I remember, you know.
Bill got around that beautifully, because if you see the band out in the road and they're still touring all the time, and I encourage everybody to go see Green Jello when they come to your town, but you'll see that always, you know, with a Y, it'll say Green Jelly everywhere, but there'll be the umlauts at the top.
Yeah.
According to legend, according to Bill, that gives the Y a long O sound. So we win in the end anyway. So
right. That's cool. So tell me how you kind of just came across, you know, being a part of or a member of this band.
It's a funny story. I was actually telling it to my girlfriend earlier, but when I was a kid, I, like I said, my dad turned me on to the band. I actually got the album as a reward for having good grades when I was a little kid. I had good
Nice.
grades. I was a good kid. So my dad bought me the album Serial Killer soundtrack, and that was a reward. And years and years later, I'm going to speed ahead. I went to go see the band play live in Clarksville once, and it was a show that got shortened, and I didn't get to see the whole show because of something that happened on stage. A few weeks later, a friend of mine named Kevin Harley had booked them in our local town to play, and I had just went to the show, and I was helping out load stuff in. That night, I got to officially meet Bill, but it was only for a brief second. My brother and I got to watch the show, and as a side note, we also got to see Psycho Stick for the very, very first time in our little local town with Green Jello, and that was my first time meeting them. Some time goes by. I was a member of a band called the Ostrich Primer for a long time, a better part of 20 years, and we were a big band in our local area and we're doing some music. And we had contacted a man by the name of Todd Diaz, and he was working with Green Jello at the time as their booking agent and something else, I believe, also play bass with them. And we met him, became friends with him, and he had us open up for Green Jello at a show here in town and had us go pick up Bill and his son from the hotel. So on the way over, my lead singer and best friend, David Norris, I call him Dark Charlie. We go over, we pick up Bill and his son, Damien, who was also in the band. He plays the electric banjo in Green Jello. We go over and pick him up, and we talk. We took the long way back to the show, so that way we could have some face-to-face time with Bill and his boy in the car, and we just talked with him, told him stories. I passed by where I worked and showed them where I worked and stuff. And that night we had a great show. We went on and played. We opened the show. I think we played an hour. And we had all of our local friends and family and stuff because it was a small town show. And then Green Jello came on and it became pandemonium. And he stayed in good touch with Todd. And every time he would come through, we would all hook up and either try to open up for him or squeeze in as an opening act. And we also learned his set. So if he needed a band or somebody to play behind him, we just started jamming and staying on stage behind him. And it just kind of progressed into, well, you're in the band. Well, okay, cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, it kind of had to be a little bit of a dream come true for you. I mean, being in the right place at the right
It
time.
really is. It's a,
And so, yeah.
it was a little bit of luck, a little bit of a lot of help, and just a lot of fun. It's always been fun. I love those guys. And that's the one cool thing about Green Jello is, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, but they are the world's largest touring punk band. They have members in every state. And it's more like a traveling family. When they come into town, I promise you, there's two or three bands that know every song that Bill is ready to play behind him and is ready to put on a show. And I consider myself very, very fortunate to be a part of it.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. So talk a little bit about how you got into playing guitar.
Well, I have a well, I can thank my dad and my mom and my big musical family. I come from a really, really big musical family. Everyone in my family plays some kind of instrument. And when I was a little kid, I was about 6 years old, six, maybe 7 years old. I wanted to play bass at first, but my dad said, "Well, what else do you like to play?" I guess we didn't have any basses around the house. And I said, "I'd like to play guitar." So I started taking lessons from a man here in our town named Randy Gouge. He was a legend in our little area. And I took lessons from him from the time I was 7 years old until I was in my mid-20s. And in that time, I went through a bazillion bands as a kid. I was the very first kid in our town to open up his garage and invite the other kids with guitars and instruments in to let's make a big noise, let's turn up real loud. And it was a lot of fun. We used to have all the neighborhood kids and stuff come over to the house, and we would try our best to put bands together and jam and just have a good time. It became a ritual in our town. Green Jello was always on rotation when we weren't playing. Them, Kiss, Deep Purple, Metallica. Not so much, we love Metallica, but we were more classic rock oriented back then, at least we thought, except for Green Jello and the punk stuff.
Right. Now, was it something that you kind of had that collective of different tastes in music? You say you were talking a little bit about, you know, you mentioned Kiss and, you know, other bands, the classic. What would be your go-to classic band right now that you would, like, you were driving in your car and you say, I really want to listen to a classic metal or even rock music? What would you play?
If I was going to go play classic rock, I would always, always, always listen to the Beatles. I love the Beatles. I think I can turn them on and Beatles, Paul McCartney, and I can listen to anything they have and just get lost. But if I want to listen to classic rock, I love my Kiss. I'm a huge, huge Kiss fan. I have been since day one. I also love my Deep Purple. I love a lot of the old glam rock. Alice Cooper, his early Alice Cooper records are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of all the old, the Rolling Stones. It's too many to mention. If I was going to go to my car right now and put on a classic rock album or a band, I would probably be stuck in the driveway for half hour easy trying to make my decision.
Right. Right. I think that, you know, I'm a Zeppelin fan.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. Now I grew up on Zeppelin. You know, I'm old. I just turned 54 last month.
42.
Okay. So I grew up. Yeah. So I listened to, you know, Heart and REO Speedwagon and Fleetwood Mac.
That's cool.
And all those, you know, but I also like some of the heavier stuff. I mean, even the 70s stuff like Uriah Heep.
Oh,
you know, there was other bands that, you know, I listened to Queen, all that stuff. So I didn't really get into the really heavier stuff metal until like 85. I mean, and Metallica was my first really heavy album, which was Kill 'Em All.
That's a great album. You know?
Yeah, it is. And I, you know, back then when I was growing up and in the 1980s, you know, and discovering, you know, Green Jello, you know, and thinking, oh, this is really cool. And I wasn't so much into the punk aspect of it, mm-hmm. but it was just the music itself. You know what I mean? It was awesome. You know, it was something that would make you feel good. And, you know, it was something you could smile at. You know what I mean?
So, I do.
But getting into that whole, you know, Metallica, I used to buy, and it's, you know, and I date myself with that whole buying an album, you know, the vinyl. And I had a collection of vinyls.
I still do also.
You know, and so I need to ask you too, how heavier did you go? Because I'll tell you, the first album that was really heavy for me was Dark Angel, Darkness Descends.
That's a good album. I don't think I've heard that in a long time.
It was a very good album. Dark Angel was one of that and Death is one of my favorite bands, and I've been trying to get them on my show now for months, and trying to contact them and you know, go back and forth and see if I can't get them on my show, because I love Death Angel. I think they were way ahead of their time. And yeah, so what would be some of the ones that really kind of catapulted you into that spectrum of heavier music?
Well, I like a kind of a wide range. I love a band called Witchfinder General. They're a kind of I call them the Son of Sabbath. They only made two albums, and they are both fantastic. I encourage everybody to go out and find Witchfinder General. Like you said, Kill 'Em All, the very first Metallica album.
Yeah.
Witchfinder General, Death Penalty. That album is amazing. One of my favorites, believe it or not, was an album that came out years later. I'm dating myself too, but I had a wide range. Slave to the Grind by Skid Row.
Yep, love that album.
They got lumped in with all these hair bands, but Skid Row's Slave to the Grind album, hands down, one of the heaviest albums to this day I've still ever heard.
Agreed. Monkey Business. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Slave to the Grind.
Yeah. I mean, it was just. Yeah, when I heard that after the previous album, and then hearing that, and I was like, what is this? This is just, it was a whole different feeling of intensity. You know what I mean? Kind of like when you listen to Slayer, Rain and Blood.
Yeah.
You would listen to that, and it was like, what in the world is this? And it would just give you that energy, and you just wanted to, you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, so music like that really moved me. And so, you know, you talk about, you know, some of these, you know, the bands like Skid Row. I think that once that album came out, I think there was other bands that were kind of up and coming that saying, hey, we can do that too. And I think that there was a couple bands that came out after that that were kind of like that. But, you know, back in the 90s, early 90s, that's when all that grunge came back and or came through and then kind of killed it all. And not that I have a thing with, you know, bad feeling with grunge. Certain bands I don't like. There's a few bands that I really do like. Alice in Chains is one of them. I really like Alice in Chains. Lane They're Staley awesome. Was a genius.
I completely agree.
You know, so, but there was other bands, you know, even some of the underrated bands, the metal bands, like, do you remember Vendetta?
I've heard of Vendetta. I didn't listen to it.
Okay, so there was an album called Vendetta called Go and Live or Stay and Die, or Go and Live or Stay or Die.
That's cool.
And it's a really good album. There's also a band called Numbskull.
I've heard of Numbskull.
Now, they were metal, and they used to live, well, my good buddy knows everything about music. I mean, everything, and I'm trying to get him on my show. He used to be a radio DJ for a college in Madison up in Wisconsin, and
that's cool.
He lived right down the street from the guys from Numbskull.
Oh, really?
And he's good friends with one of the musicians to this day. Now I saw that album. Yeah, it was, and it was just one of those things where he's a drummer and he played in a couple of death metal bands and he was really good. And I tried to get him to back in, you know, get back into it, but he's just like, no, I just don't want to anymore. And so it's like, but yeah, so there's so many underrated bands. Now, is there a band that you think that never got the props that they deserve?
Oh, there's a bunch of those. There are so many bands I actually think that they could have used a little bit more. I'd like to just say, like, a modern band that I think could use more props is a band, Cycle Stick, I mentioned earlier. They're out there doing their thing now, but I think everybody should listen to them because I absolutely love them. They blend metal and comedy, which is kind of my wheelhouse, and I just absolutely love it. Witchfinder General, again, they're a band I pushed a lot on people that I think they get sick of me talking about, but they're a classic,
right.
A classic.
For, right.
I used to love, trying to think of that one band. There was an 80s hair metal band I used to listen to all the time. I'm trying to remember the name. Loudness.
Oh, yeah.
I used to listen to them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And none of my friends knew who they were. And I was like, no, it's cool.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was the weird kid in town. I turned everybody on to like them. And then I jumped to Gwar. And then we start listening to Pantera. And
right.
I was just, my tastes were a little bit all over the place. So I don't know. During grunge,
now,
there were so many
bands. Now doesn't Gwar kind of have a rotating group too?
I don't really know how they do it. I do know they have a past with Green Jello. Green Jello did a lot of shows. Dave Brocky and Bill Manspeaker were really good friends, and Bill was really, really hurt when Dave passed. And of course, Gwar is amazing. And their current lineup is also amazing. I encourage everybody to go see Gwar still. They're still amazing. But their history, I'm not exactly sure how far back it goes, but I do know it's intertwined. What was your very, very, very first concert, Jay? Like the very first concert.
My
you ever
very
saw.
Oh. You're gonna laugh that. At this.
No.
My very first concert was Kool & the Gang.
That's an awesome show. That's an awesome first concert.
It was at an amusement park in Six Flags in Missouri.
That's cool.
Outside of St. Louis.
Were they the only band there that day?
Yes. It was just them. And there wasn't hardly anybody in the stands. Now, granted, that was in 1984, 83. Mm-hmm. And then my second one was Rick Springfield and Quarter Flash.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Now, if anybody has seen as of late, Rick Springfield is 70 some years old and he still looks like he's in his 50s. He's still playing like he's in his, you know what I mean? The guy plays music like it's, you know what I mean?
He's amazing.
That was just one of those things where it was a good show. You know, I was kind of embarrassed to be there because I was with my sisters at that time, but, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a little family bonding at the rock concert.
What was your first one that you went to?
My very first rock concert. I'm glad you asked me that. I ask everybody that. I wasn't trying to be, but.
No, that's fine.
But my very, very, very first rock concert was, I remember even the day of it. It was July 30th, 1993. It was my dad and my godfather, his best friend, Mike Porter, and his wife, Dee. Mm-hmm. And they took me to go see the Gibson Guitars 100th anniversary concert at Riverfront Park in Nashville, Tennessee. There was a band from Memphis called the Mother Station that played first. Pat Travers came on and he played all his hits and he was amazing. Brother Kane came out, played. Mm-hmm. And then the headlining acts were kind of a weird mix, but it was, I just drew a blank. Fleetwood Mac was one of them, and Kiss.
Okay.
I'm trying to.
Okay.
Steve Winwood. I just drew a complete blank. Winwood, Fleetwood Mac, and Kiss. The ticket was $10.
Right,
it was general admission. It was right before Kiss put their makeup back on. They had just put out, I think, their tribute album. So they had only done like one or two shows that whole year. And it was amazing. It was wild because Fleetwood Mac had just reunited. And I think that's where Kiss got the idea, because it was wild to see everyone lose their minds for Fleetwood Mac. And then a complete change from that to Kiss. And Kiss, that was in their revenge era, and they were real heavy at that time. That was my personal favorite era of Kiss, personally.
Right. So what was your heaviest one after that? I mean, which one, when you got introduced to metal in that sense, what was your first one of metal?
My very first metal show was Ozzy Osbourne. It was nice. Ozzy Osbourne, and I was so excited to go see him because I had discovered Sabbath completely by accident. Mm-hmm. My dad used to have this drawer full of cassette tapes where he had just worn off the writing on the cassettes. You had no idea what was each cassette was. This is a white one. This one's a clear one. And you just put it on and turn it up loud and hopefully you'd get something really cool. Well, one day I did that and it started up Paranoid. And I fell in love with Sabbath. I listened to that whole cassette tape of Paranoid from start to finish and just was in awe. The very first time I saw Ozzy, it was Korn and Life of Agony opening up for Ozzy. And Korn was their very first time ever coming to Nashville. I live in Middle Tennessee, proud of it. Mm-hmm. Life of Agony was a kind of a new band too. And I'd seen them on Beavis and Butthead or something. And I thought they were cool. My dad was a metalhead and Ozzy just blew my mind. He was still, like I said, this was 94. And I believe his guitar player at the time wasn't Zakk Wylde. He was, I think Zakk Wylde had just left the band and he had this, what everyone calls his forgotten guitar player, Joe Holmes. And he was, I believe, taught by Randy Rhoads. But that first show, that was my first metal show.
Yeah, it was like his guitar.
Yeah, something like that. You have to forgive me. I'm not sure if I remember all the little details, but I love all these little musical details because I'd sit there with dad at the concerts and he'd point out stuff to me. But after that, here's a funny story. 10 months later, Ozzy comes back to Nashville and my dad and I say, oh man, we got to go again. So, and it was technically the very first Ozfest. So it was Ozzy, Danzig, Sepultura, and Biohazard. And we had dead center front row. And my dad, every now and again, because he didn't want to, he was a great big guy. And it was all these people squishing us in the pit. He'd say, well, boys, I'm going to go back here and just watch from a distance. And you boys just have a great time. That night I discovered Sepultura, Biohazard I'd heard of before, but Glenn Danzig came out, and I love the Misfits. They're one of those bands that's just ridiculously talented. They're cross, you know, they're punk, they're metal, they're a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. He comes out and walks right up to me, like I'm leaning up against the stage looking up at him, and he comes right over to me, and the very first notes of Mother rings out, and he goes, "Mother," right in my face. And it was the coolest thing ever. I just got the biggest kick out of Glenn Danzig singing at me right here.
Right, right, right. Those moments you never forget. You always want to remember those. Those are kind of like they push you into that, you know, that inspiration. You know what I mean? It's moments like that that are those feel-good moments, you know? And I tell you what, my first metal show after... It was 85. I had tickets. No, don't get me wrong. I had tickets for my buddy had tickets and he invited me. It was a first row venue in Denver when I lived in Colorado. And I was trying to go to the concert. It was Ozzy and Metallica was opening.
Oh, that's cool.
When Cliff Burton was still alive.
That was a killer show.
Believe me, I tried to go and I couldn't. I would have snuck out and tried to. I would have got caught and I just couldn't have done it. Then come to find out that my buddy was like, "Yeah, you know, I got to slap his hand," and I'm like, "Shit!
Oh wow!
Damn, I missed out." Now I missed out on a couple good concerts here and there. The one I kind of really regret is when I was in high school. We have Alpine Valley, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a ski resort, and it's also an amphitheater. We had Stevie Ray Vaughan come.
Oh, that would have been
and cool. My buddy had front row tickets, and he says, "I want you to come with me. It'll be great." And I love Stevie Ray Vaughan because I was into the Black Crowes then, you know, and my sister actually knew the members of Black Crowes.
Oh, that's cool.
And, yeah, so... You know, I was like, God, I can't. I just got a new job. If I'm late, I'm fired. I can't. I got to make sure I'm up. And he's like, "You're not going to want to miss this." And I was like, I can't do it. He went to the show. The next day is when he died in that helicopter crash on that hill at Alpine Valley. Yeah, I was like, oh, my gosh, are you serious? Oh.
I am still, my condolences still go out to you, sir.
Right. I could have seen his last show on Earth. Wow. And I chose not to. And yeah, I kind of regret that because I loved Steve Ray. I still do. I mean, he was one of the most versatile, you know, blues players. I mean, just not even blues, just a guitar player in general.
I agree. Know?
So talking about guitars and talking about, you know, playing guitars and some of the great ones, who inspired you to play guitar besides your dad or your family? Was there an artist that really kind of just said, you know, reached out to you without knowing to reach out to you?
Oh, yeah. Eddie Van Halen.
Okay.
Van Halen. The very first cassette I ever bought, I told you I went to guitar lessons after... I don't remember which one it was, but one of the early guitar lessons, I went to a music store right afterwards and I bought 1984. And as soon as I put it in, it captured me. Eddie Van Halen was a guitar player. When he was alive, I would have went to go watch Eddie Van Halen pick his nose. My dad was the same way. After him, it was Yngwie Malmsteen. I discovered Yngwie, and I think it was something about because it was just so fast and just such a different from everybody else that I just
Rising really Force. Yeah. Yep.
That album, I encourage everyone to go out and buy that album. It's only 8 songs. There's only 2 that has words on it, but
Yeah. Oh, that's a great one. Now, I'll throw one at you. How about Steve Vai?
Steve Vai is amazing. Are you... Frank Zappa, Steve Vai, Whitesnake, Steve Vai, or David Lee Roth, Steve Vai? Steve Vai.
Steve Vai. His album, Passion and Warfare,
mm-hmm.
which was
a great one.
instrumental, one of my favorites of all time, and still one of my favorite instrumentals besides of the Cliffs of Dover, which I really love that too.
That's a great one.
From Eric, what was his name?
Eric Johnson.
Yes, I love that song. That song is great.
That is a great one.
But Steve Vai's Passion and Warfare, In the Name of God or something like that. I can't remember.
For the Love of God?
For the Love of God, yes. That is one of my all-time favorite songs ever, and it still will be. You know, I still every once in a while will throw that on there on my phone and have it hooked up, and I'll listen to it with great earphones, and yeah.
I'm so glad you brought that up. It's kind of funny. It's a small world. You're going to think, you know, that's crazy. But just earlier this week, I was on my phone and I was downloading a bunch of albums, and I had just re-downloaded the original G3 album, the Joe Satriani, Eric Johnson, Steve Vai.
Nice.
I was listening to that just yesterday, and I was thinking,
that is cool.
God,
this is such
a good album. And it starts off with Joe Satriani, who's also another just sickly amazing guitar
surfing
player.
With the Blue Alien.
You mentioned there the Cliffs of Dover, Eric Johnson.
Yeah.
He's amazing on there too. I love that album. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah. I'm a Steve Vai fan first. Satriani, I like his stuff. I had a few of his tapes, mm-hmm. you know, the cassette tapes. But I was always just drawn to Steve Vai's guitar playing. And even when he was with David Lee Roth, I loved him and David Lee Roth.
I did too.
You know what I mean?
I thought they were a good fit.
That album, Skyscraper, that was a great album.
What was the other one? Eat 'em and Smile? Or
Eat 'em and
Crazy
Smile.
Those are both just killer albums.
Oh, yeah. And you kind of wonder, it's like, you know, He could have stood on his alone. He could stand all by himself and didn't need all these other bands. I mean, but you got to start somewhere. But he's good enough that he could have just, you know. And I remember watching him in that movie Crossroads.
That's a great one too.
That is, and that battle with Ralph Macchio and him was one of my favorite all time movie scenes because it was brutal. You know,
I have to ask you, have you seen the little meme that's going around on the web of how it actually sounds? It's a little clip.
Yes. It's, yeah. They've been
I saw
doing
that the other
with,
day.
With other bands. They did that with Prince. the one with Prince. That is so funny. Yeah. They take all the music out and then just act like it's just. And that's funny because if you really think about it, a lot of those videos they've used to make back in the hair bands and all that stuff, they weren't really playing. It was a backing track that they would lip sync to all the time. So they weren't really playing. They were just basically doing that. So you take that away and that's kind of what you would get.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny. So
I get a kick out of that.
Yeah, I do too. I do watch, you know, videos on TikTok because it's just, it's there. You know what I mean? Now, if you go back to some of the different aspects of all the metal music and how it shaped back in like the 70s and 80s, and did you like the British Invasion?
Yes, okay. Very much so.
Judas Priest.
Let's see. We had Judas Priest. We had Angel Witch. Of course, I said Witchfinder General.
Yeah.
But also Def Leppard. They were also considered.
Oh, yeah.
Their earlier
stuff was awesome.
I think a lot of people forget that they were super heavy in the beginning.
Yeah. They were really super heavy. And I really liked a lot of their stuff, too. There's other bands. Wasn't Diamond Head?
Diamond Head, Angel Witch. God, there's so many good bands in that new Wobbum movement.
Right. Yeah. You know, and even, you know, talking about Led Zeppelin, you know, that's one of my favorites. And I just watched that documentary, Becoming Led Zeppelin.
I wanted to see that. How was that?
It's good. I wanted to see it in an IMAX theater. I wanted to, because we have one in Illinois here.
Uh-huh.
But it was... it was on a day that I couldn't go, and tickets, I didn't give a crap about how much it costs because it's Led Zeppelin,
right.
You know?
Right.
So, but I did watch it on stream. Good. I mean, it had its moments of, it was kind of okay, but for the most part, it was interesting. It was very informative. And it was the first time that I got to hear John Bonham's voice.
Really? I haven't.
There's an interview.
I don't think I haven't heard much of his voice.
Because he did not do interviews. They even said mm-hmm. that he didn't like to do interviews in this documentary. And they actually have a track of him doing a small interview and talking about, you know, things like whatever, the music and all this. And it wasn't like what I thought it was. I mean, his voice is a little bit different, and it was just really, it was crazy.
That's,
you know,
cool. A few weeks
ago. So, yeah. Watch it. It's good.
I'm going to check that out. It's kind of funny. Synchronicities. A few weeks back, one of my best friends, his name is Michael Williams. I call him Mikey. Me and him and his cousin Brent, and we went to go see Jason Bonham here in Nashville. He had brought his Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, I've seen him.
Yeah, that was amazing. I believe that was as close as we'll probably get to Led Zeppelin unless they just decide to do a reunion tour, which I kind of hope they do. As long as they're still alive and Jason Bonham's out there.
I would love it.
Me too. I think I would pay anything they ask.
Oh, yeah. Now, at the same place that Stevie Ray Vaughan died, which is Alpine Valley Music Amphitheater, the closest I got to Led Zeppelin was seeing Robert Plant.
Oh, that's cool.
I got to see Robert Plant's Manic Nirvana album, and it was great. I do believe that there's some parts on there that Jimmy played on, but I can't be for sure. But he did Zeppelin songs. I thought I was going to die. I mean, I was like, you know, 18, 17, 18 years old, and hear him play Achilles Heel, or, you know.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's around the tip of your tongue when you try to think about it. And sometimes.
You'll be in the shower tomorrow, you'll
be like, run or stomp. But that's so cool.
Yeah. And the songs, it sounded, I close my eyes and hear our plant sing. You know, and you got to realize that some of that was considered metal. That was heavy metal. You know what I mean? Back in the 70s. Right. And, you know, because a lot of that 60s was all about peace, love, and relaxation. Birth of Pink Floyd. Don't get me wrong. I love everything about Pink Floyd. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm just a big, you know, softy at heart when it comes to that. But there's some heavy bands I used to listen to, Obituary. What was it? 6 Feet Under. You know, there's other bands. You know, Kitty was one of them that I liked. So I have a very wide spectrum of music. But when you're talking about like where some of the heavy metal started, I would have to say that it would be Sabbath. And, you know, what's the other? Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, and
Deep Purple.
Yes, that's what I was looking for. Deep Purple. Yep. You know what I mean?
I had a cool story I was going to tell you. I have a little Black Sabbath, Deep Purple story. Years ago, my uncle and a couple friends of mine, we had tickets to go see Ronnie James Dio, the Scorpions, and Deep Purple here in Nashville. And I was over by the backstage door. I was much younger, and I was talking to one of the roadies, and he said, here, do you want one of these? And he pulled out a backstage pass, and he handed it to me and gave it to me. So that after the show, it was just a little after show meet and greet to go meet Ronnie. Well, after the show, I got to meet Ronnie James Dio. He came out, and he was real nice and just met everybody, and then went about his way. We went back out, watched the Scorpions, watched Deep Purple. And I thought after the show, let's just try it again. We walked to the backstage door again because they'd saw us earlier. I thought maybe they would let us in. And they did. So they just let us right back. So we're standing back there, and Steve Morse and not Ian, yeah, Ian Gillan, and trying to remember, Ian Lord came out, and they just talked, John Lord, excuse me, John Lord came out and talked with all of us and signed autographs, and they were so cool, just sitting, getting to talk and get to know each one of them for a little bit. And at the time, I didn't drink. I don't ever drink hardly at all. Steve Moore said, "Do you want a beer?" I said, "No, no, thank you." So he ran to the back and he came back with a can of Dr. Pepper and he said, "Here you go. I still have that."
Oh, wow. That is
I was
awesome.
thinking, that's Deep Purple gave me a Dr. Pepper because I didn't want a beer. So I still
Right,
have that
right.
Deep Purple.
That's that is awesome that, like I said, talking about, having memories like that it's like an inspiration, and that's a, those good feel memories, and there's so many music that I've, even I've had that I've met quite a few different musicians. And you remember Great White?
Say again, Great White. Oh yeah, I love Great White.
You remember the, okay.
They had a ton of great songs. My band, the Ostrich Primer, we used to do a version of "Rock Me" long time ago.
Right,
We did it our own way, but we used to do a version of
yeah.
that.
Oh yeah. So, when I was 16, I got to meet Jack Russell at a bowling alley where I live in Wisconsin here in our tourist town. I got his autograph on a napkin. Now, fast forward 25 years later, it was also in a bowling alley that had a bar, in a different state. And he was there, and Quiet Riot was playing there, and they were playing there. So I got to meet him again, and I told him, I said, "You probably don't remember me. We were in so and so town, and at the bowling alley." He's like, "I do." And I said, "You signed it on a napkin." And he was kind of drunk that night too, and he was like, "Yeah." And Kendall gave me his autograph, and I still have. I just found them the other day, and they're on an old, like, ticket, and it's got their
That's
autograph.
awesome.
The freaky thing about that is the next night that they played, because we watched them on a Thursday or Friday or something, their next show was the Station Fire.
No. Wow.
Yes. The
Well,
next
I'm glad
night.
you weren't.
Yeah.
I'm glad you
Yeah.
didn't make
So,
that show, but
well,
man,
I mean, yeah,
that's
so
still
they
terrible.
traveled to the Rhode Island.
Right?
They traveled to Rhode Island and they did the Station Fire. Now, when we were there, we were up close, and they were doing, and this was a small bar, and they did pyrotechnics there. We could feel the heat from that
Wow.
pyrotechnic. We all had to, everybody backed up because it was too much, too small of a
Right.
space, but they thought they did it anyways. And I'm like, gosh, that freak, that scared the crap out of me, literally.
I can imagine a small place like that.
And so I guess from what the owner wasn't too happy because he told them not to do that, and they did it anyways or something like that. I don't remember, but that whole story is a
I do.
tragedy. You know what I mean? And that happened in
I
Rhode
do.
Island. Now, part of me, and I know because of the fact that we've talked a little bit of, that we're both kind of, we're into the paranormal and things like that, but I would like to visit that spot just once, just because I kind of sense that there are some spirits
I
there.
would like to.
You know what I mean?
I bet there's a
Yeah.
lot of EVP
Yeah.
activity there.
I bet there is too. And I bet there is, and not to be
By any
disrespectful or anything
means.
like that. It's just curiosity is just the fact that if there's somebody there that would might need help crossing over in that
I
sense. You know
do.
what I mean? So,
That site
but
had a lot of
yeah,
tragedy.
it's just, yeah, and like most places do, like places do, they do have a lot of activity because of the tragedy, the intensity of that tragedy, But anyways, shifting gears back to the whole music aspect, because I can, I can,
Oh, I'll
we can
be here
talk
all
about
night.
paranormal all day long, right? So yeah, but talking about, like the Great Whites and all those, the hair bands and all that, to me, in my opinion, and some of those things, you talk about, look at, like, there's bands like
That's a band.
Trickster, or there was White Lion, who were, you know, really severely underrated. I think that their guitar player was Vito Brado. That was his name. Yeah, he was phenomenal.
I believe that rhythm section, their bass player and their drummer went on to be the rhythm section of Pride and Glory with Zakk Wylde, I think. Or it's either really? Pride and Glory or the early incarnation of Black Label Society, I believe.
I liked Black Label Society too. You know, there are some guitar parts that Zakk Wylde plays that I'm not a fan of. Too many harmonics kind of kills a song, right, in my opinion. You know what I mean? If you're going to play it straightforward. You know, you don't need too many of the harmonics. I understand.
Me, everyone's got their different preferences.
But yeah. You know,
favorite
guitar player that I think is still kind of underrated was George Lynch.
He's amazing. I was watching a video of him.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and he says his son is better than he is, but he never wanted to play guitar because he wanted to be a chiropractor.
Really? I couldn't see
that.
Yeah,
that's what I read. Yeah, his son wanted to be a chiropractor, and his son wanted to be a chiropractor, but his son plays guitar better than he does.
That's cool. That is really cool.
You know, I'm like, well, then evidently you did something right. You know, you know what I mean? You raised him right, you know, if they're better.
On the same vein, until I talk about rock star kids growing up, we were talking about Jason Bonham earlier. I'm going to throw out my own Bill in our band, Green Jello. Both of his sons are in our band with him. His older son, Damien Manspeaker, played the electric banjo, and his younger son is also in the band. Chaos Diablo is also a lead singer in the band. And so it's a multi-generational thing in Green Jello. But I also saw not too long ago, of course, didn't Eddie Van Halen, Wolfgang Van Halen, he was in Van Halen with them too. I kind of like seeing all these generations.
Right.
And now,
right.
I was going to ask you, did you see that Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley's son have an album or a group or something going?
Yes. And I'll one up you on that one. Did you see the Beatles? Kids?
I did, actually. I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but have you had a chance to hear it yet?
Yeah. You got to check it out. It's pretty
cool.
What's
it called?
You know, it's Ringo and it's Lennon, and God, I just saw the clip of it too. I can't remember what the name of it, but you'll have to look it up. You know, so. Music doesn't go anywhere. You know, music is a universal language. And no matter what you listen to or, you know, of who you listen to, like, you know, I love the whole 50s era of Vegas and the mobsters and all that stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, so it's like I have a different view of all that music. But, you know, it's just whatever mood hits you. You know, my buddy Mikey, who knows everything about metal music, does ever want to know. He listens to death metal, pretty much death metal music, or, you know, heavy stuff too, 24/7. That's not a joke. That's 24/7. His speaker that he carries around with him everywhere, and he goes to work with it and this and that, it broke. I let him use my Bose little speaker. Once he hooked it up to his phone and he listened to it in his living room, it surrounded the whole room because it was a Bose, you know, and it was just, so he borrowed me some money once and I said, just keep it. You know, I don't, you know, so he takes it with him. But, so he's got, you know, tons of stories. You know, he hung out with Joey Belladonna, you know, on his tour bus. You know, he's met Overkill, you know, a bunch of bands, you know what I mean? And he could tell stories about, kind of like you telling stories to me. He could tell stories, you know, about those guys. And let me ask you, so following that trend a little bit of meeting, you know, musicians, who was the one musician that you never got to meet, but you always wanted to, but that's still here?
Okay. That's a good one. Well, let me think here just for a second. That I've never got to meet, but I'd still like to. That's still here. Well, I would love to meet some of the cla I'd love to get to talk to like Paul McCartney. I know he just not a,
Okay.
like a guitar player, but I'd love to talk to some of these classic rockers that I love so much that are still here to see. I would love to ask them what makes them still love to do it so much, you know, because a lot of my bands that I love, I've heard them talk about going out and becoming nostalgia acts and getting stuck in this rut of just playing their hits all the time. But there's a lot of bands like the Rolling Stones. They put out new albums every few years, whether they hit the charts or anybody notices, they still put out new music and do cool stuff.
They should out put out music. Yeah.
And
Oh, their music is still in demand.
absolutely, that's one answer. I'd love to meet anybody in the Stones. Absolutely. I tell you, Lizzie Hale would be really cool. I'd like to actually get to sit down and talk and jam with her. She seems like such an amazing, not only person and musician, and I have a lot of respect for, but she's been carrying the flag for metal for a long time. And she's got a voice like Sebastian Bach. I think that would be really cool to sit down and with her and the guitar player that is in her band, Joe Hottinger, and get to sit down and just jam and talk with them. I think that would be really cool. There's so many. Right off the cuff, I get kind of lost of who I would love to jam with and just meet who's still around. I would love to meet Ace Frehley again. I have met him before, but it was just a really quick, it was just kind of like a quick meet and greet. He was doing autographs at a tattoo convention, and I just kind of got his autograph and kind of went through. I would love to get to actually get to hang out with him and talk and play some guitars with him. Who would you like to
That,
jam with?
well, I'll tell you, there's one band that I did meet, and I'll get with the, I'll tell you the ones that I would like to. I got to meet Testament,
That's cool.
and I got to shake Chuck Billy's hand and get his autograph. This was years ago. This was like when Practice the Preach came out, or Practice What You Preach came out, and that album, and I actually got to sit down with their bass player and talk with him for a while, talking about Alpine Valley and stuff, because
Well, that's cool.
he opened up for Iron Maiden back in the
Oh,
day.
wow.
Yeah. So that was really cool. That was a really good conversation in this and that. But somebody that I would like to meet that's still alive is Robert Plant.
That would be
I
cool.
would want to sit down with him just to sit there and talk to him. Just for 5 minutes, and it doesn't even have to be about music, just a general talk. You know what I mean? I just think that, he's got that, he still has that swagger. He's still got that. I don't know what it is, but it was kind of like how Sinatra had it. You know what I mean? He's
Actually,
got
I
great
do.
stories. Yeah, he's got great stories.
I think I would also love to meet Ozzy just so that I could. I read his autobiography, I Am Ozzy, literally cover to cover, probably 5 times when I first got it. It was so good. It felt like he was sitting there across from me telling me stories, just like we are now. And it felt good. I would love to meet him. Slash would be another one. I
Oh
would
yeah.
love to get to meet
Yeah.
Slash.
Right. I'd like to pick his brain on how he survived all his abuses. I mean,
Yeah, I would too.
you know, I mean, I kudos to him for overcoming a lot of that stuff, and especially heart surgery and all that. And it's like, you can't be a rock star forever and do what you're doing, except for what's his name from the Stones. He evidently he can fall out of a tree, and he can do as many drugs or whatever he wants, and he's still kicking, and he's about as old as Father Time. But
As
it's
they
just
say in
kind
Wayne's World 2, conventional weapons can't kill Keith.
of right pretty much. Yeah. So what's the other band that you were talking about, that I have that picture that I added on the poster?
Oh, okay. Well, right now, of course, like I said, I am in Green Jello, but I don't tour with them. They are, I will throw this out there, they are on tour. If anyone wants to go check them out, please go check out their socials. And they are currently, right now as we speak, on tour. And I encourage everyone to go check out your local Green Jello show when they hit your town, mm-hmm. because it's going to be amazing. You've mm-hmm. never seen a show like that, but I digress. What was the question?
Yeah, what was the question? That's funny.
Sorry.
No. Oh, what's the other band that you were talking about I have for the poster?
The other band I'm in.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm in a band called Slug Puddle. It's with my best friend, David Norris. He was the lead singer of the Ostrich Primer that we were in together for 20 years. It's our good friend Larry Presley in rhythm guitar, and absolutely the heaviest, badassiest drummer I've ever met. His name is Xander Dixon on drums. Mm-hmm. And it's a new band. We haven't got anything out yet. We're just kind of getting together and grooving, but it's coming together fast. And I cannot wait to debut it someday.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to put it on the poster, just because Bill in the band has always pushed, and as I was going to put this out there too, he's always been really proud of everyone that does their things, and we all push and support each other's arts. There's a mm-hmm. lot of bands tied to Green Jello, and a lot of artists, mm-hmm. and a lot of other media makers, mm-hmm. and I wanted to give some props to him, if you didn't mind, while we had a moment. But I'll get back to that in just a moment. But there's so many bands tied to this that we all push and support each other. And we try to kind of have each other's backs all the time. My band, Slug Puddle, right now, we're trying to kind of get off our ground and get our feet wet and just kind of get things formed. I would like to give a little shout out to some of the other guys in Green Jello.
Yeah.
Jello Nate, he's putting together all these, what they're called, garbage band kids cards. Mm-hmm. They look like the old Garbage Pail Kids cards from the 80s, but mm-hmm. they're just absolutely amazing. And he's giving props to all these different members of the band that are people who are associated with the band and connect with the band. And mm-hmm. it's really, really, really cool.
I saw that and I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. It's really, really cool what he's done. There's an artist named Adam Shaloff who is mm-hmm. absolutely incredible. I encourage everyone to go to Facebook and please check out his art. I don't even know how to describe it. It won't do it justice. Mm-hmm. There's just so many cool things out there. Well, I guess I have off the tip of my tongue. I'd just like to say thank you very much for letting me get that out there, for letting mm-hmm. us have a moment on your show.
Right, right, right. No, and also, you know, there was I wanted to mention this too. You know, good friends of mine. I also did my first show was actually in person with a local band that are up and coming. Like you said, your band is kind of up and coming. They're called Psychonson and they're really good. I mean, I think that they're, you know, they've got something that I think that they're going to be able to, you know, kind of take off a little bit. They've got a great show. They're doing a live tomorrow.
Ooh.
And, they're called Psychonson.
Give them a props. Where are they playing at?
They're going to be playing. Actually, they're doing a 4th of July festival at the lead singer's house, but they're also doing a show up north in Wisconsin. And I will send you the link. I'll send you the link to check them out when they go live. You know what I mean? And that That'd is, you cool. know, it goes back to support locals, you know, support, you know, bands who are just getting started or whatnot. You know what I mean? So, yeah, these guys are good friends of mine. They're really cool. And I just wanted to let you know that to kind of be on the lookout for them, you know, and they like to share stuff. So if they get your band stuff and, you know, they'll share it and whatnot. So, yeah,
absolutely. We will too. Yeah. We like to support. I'll tell you something that I think is kind of cool, Jay. Nowadays, we don't need record labels anymore. We don't need right. people to. We don't, I hate to say it, but social media has killed the A&R man. You yeah. don't really have anyone who thinks any band is cool. Thanks to social media can get out there. And I think everyone should vehemently be supporting your local bands, your local artists and stuff. Mm-hmm. Please send me their stuff. I'd be more than happy to check them out and show them to everyone here in Tennessee and blare them.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Most definitely. Oh yeah, I'm sure they'll like that, you know. So yeah. So where else can we find you?
Well, personally, me, nowhere. I'm on Facebook, but I'm really low key. I'm really low key. Slug Puddle, right now we don't have anything going on. I encourage everyone right now to follow and find, look for Green Jello. They are on Facebook, they're on TikTok, they're on Instagram. Please check them out. I'll tell you a couple cool things in the works. Next year, Bill, or maybe this upcoming year, Bill is going to be in a movie called Jesus Cop that's coming out. So okay. There's going to be another round of cards coming out soon. And mm-hmm. yes, just we're on Facebook. Just check us out. Please keep in touch because we are on the road and we are coming to a town near you.
Right on. Right on. So I want to thank you again and thank everybody for listening and watching.
Thank you, Jay, for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah. I mean, this has been a blast. And again, you know, we're going to have to talk paranormal.
Please.
Because that's what we do. That's what we do.
I'm obsessed with music and ghosts, or anything paranormal.
Right. There you go.
Anytime you need it, you need someone, hit me up. I'll come and chat with you all evening.
Oh yeah. So I've got 32, the show 32, and I've also got Paranormal Saloon. I got this show. I got Paranormal Memoirs. I'm busy, but you know, maybe I can get you on Paranormal Saloon. I just had one last night with a guy. It was really cool talking about Gettysburg. Oh, that's cool. You know, so yeah. So I plan on hopefully maybe this year that I'm going to take a trip down there by you so that we can investigate.
That would be awesome. I would love to meet you and investigate with you. Come on down.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, that I'll be able to do that this year. But yeah, so this is Metal Freedom. I'm Jay Hill.
Shiner.
And we want to thank you all for tuning in. So on that note, I will see you next time.